two readings, the first from the beginning of 1 Chronicles, chapter 11. All Israel came together to David at Hebron and said, "Here we are, your own flesh and blood. Even when Saul was king, you led us out to battle and brought us back. The Lord your God also said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. David made a covenant with them at Hebron in the Lord's presence. And they anointed David king over Israel in keeping with the Lord's word through Samuel. David and all Israel marched to Jerusalem, that is Jebus. The Jebusites who inhabited the land were there. The inhabitants of Jebus said to David, 'You will never get in here.' Yet David did capture the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. David said, 'Whoever is the first to kill a Jebusite will become commander-in-chief.' Joab, son of Zeruiah, who was David's sister, went up first, so he became the chief. Then David took up residence in the stronghold, therefore it was called the City of David. He built up the city all the way round, from the supporting terraces to the surrounding parts, and Joab restored the rest of the city. David steadily grew more powerful, and the Lord of hosts was with him. The following were the chiefs of David's warriors, who, together with all Israel, strongly supported him in his reign to make him king according to the Lord's word about Israel." And then the second reading from the prophecy of Ezekiel. Please keep your finger in 1 Chronicles 11. Prophecy of Ezekiel. Short portion from chapter 34. Reading from verse 11. Chapter 34 from verse 11. "For this is what the Lord God says. See, I myself will search for my flock and look for them, as a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day he is among the scattered flock. So I will look for my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the peoples, gather them from the countries, and bring them to their own land. I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will tend them with good pasture, and their grazing place will be on Israel's lofty mountains. There they will lie down in a good grazing place. They will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will tend my flock and let them lie down. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the strays, bandage the injured, and strengthen the weak. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will shepherd them with justice." Well, friends, the title that I want to give to this word this morning is "A Heart to Rule." A heart to rule. This is the heart that David had, and I believe there's something of it that the Lord wants to impart to us all and to us as a church. It is, I suppose, of any of the different aspects of David's heart, the one thing that was in the mind of God when he said through Samuel, I have sought for a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. 1 Samuel chapter 13, there's no need to turn to it, but 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14 brings this out very clearly. "Now your kingdom shall not continue," Samuel said to Saul. "The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people." So you see there, amongst other scriptures as well, that a heart to rule, because David had a heart to rule or to shepherd or to govern or to lead his people, that is why God raised him up and chose him, because he had this kind of heart. It's there in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We read it. Moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, verse 2, you were he that led out and brought in Israel, and the Lord your God said to you, you shall feed my people Israel, and you shall be ruler over my people Israel. I'm reading from the Authorized Version there. And you see there that that the people of Israel, they recognized that God had raised David up. So it wasn't that David knew, he had to know from the Lord himself, but the people of Israel recognized it, that God had said these things to him, and moreover, they recognized that he was actually fulfilling what the Lord had given him to do. So even when Saul was king, actually it was David who was shepherding the people. So you see that David, even from those days, had a heart to rule, and that the people recognized it. In having such a heart, he becomes a forerunner, or what we may call, sometimes is called, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when it comes to the life of the Lord Jesus, taking, for example, one of many, a prophecy in Micah, where it says, and you, Bethlehem, are not the least among the princes of Judah, out of you shall come forth a ruler who shall rule or shepherd my people Israel. And that's a prophecy, of course, that was going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And it was forever prophesied, find this in the beginning of 1 Chronicles, that out of Judah would come the chief prince or the ruler. David was a partial fulfillment of that, but of course, ultimately, that is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. So I suppose what I want to look at today, and it may be that for us here, that many of these things are very familiar, but I want us to look again at the shepherd heart of God, the shepherd heart of our Lord Jesus, the shepherd of Israel, the great shepherd of the sheep, your good shepherd and my good shepherd. And as we look at King David, let's see something of the Lord Jesus and what his heart is in his rule over us. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Now it says here in verse 2, you shall feed my people and you shall be ruler over my people Israel. The version that I read, which was the Holman Study Bible, says this: you will shepherd my people and be ruler over my people Israel. And there are two particular words there, two particular commands here. I've sort of entitled them all under the umbrella, a heart to rule. But let's look at both of them particularly. The first one means to shepherd. You will feed or you will shepherd. Now this word shepherd has a number of different connotations. It really means to tend, which is tremendous. It means that it's underlying the Lord's care of us. It means to pasture, to graze. So he is the shepherd who leads his people to where there is good pasture. And of course that was fulfilled in the life of David. David, in his battling against the Philistines, established the people of God in safe and secure borders. He gave them a pasture, and the land of Israel is called the pasture. And God said that he would make sure that his people go to the land, and that there in the land they would be pastured. It means that in there they would have their welfare and their well-being. And my dear friends, our great shepherd of the sheep, he is able, is he not, to bring us into good pasture. He's able to bring us into that place of fulfillment and satisfaction and safety and security in our lives. He's able to provide for us in every way. And of course, part of being a shepherd is to feed. Do you remember the Lord's word to Peter? After he was raised from the dead, he said to him, I want you to tend my sheep and I want you to feed my sheep. And the Lord feeds us. The Lord nourishes us. And my dear friends, if you as a person, if you are a Christian this morning, and you don't feel nourished by the Lord, cared for by the Lord, hedged in by the Lord, protected from the Lord, if you don't feel fulfilled in the Lord, there is something wrong. Get your eyes again on the Lord. He is your shepherd. You won't find any of these qualities in another person or in a church or in the world, certainly. No, the one who's the God of this world, we read of, comes only to seek to kill and to destroy and to maim. But friends, the Lord is your shepherd. Let him nourish you. Let him lead you. Let him tend you. Let him provide for you. Now, just want to unpack this a little bit more by looking at Ezekiel chapter 34. Because in this prophecy, which of course was given much later than in the rule of David, the Lord contrasts the rule of false shepherds, and in Israel, rulers and shepherds, they were the same. They were the, there's a song which we sing about the Lord Jesus being our shepherd king. So when you read about a shepherd in the Old Testament, very often it's talk about the rulers of the people. And the rulers of Israel, as well as, of course, those who were priests. He was speaking very strongly at the beginning of this chapter about the false shepherds. And he said, because they effectively scattered the flock, the Lord says, see, from verse 11, I will be their shepherd. So let's just look at something of what this means for the Lord to shepherd us. It means, first of all, that he, and these are just only the things that are mentioned here, there are other qualities of the Lord being our shepherd that we could look at from other parts of God's word, but I just felt it was right to look at this today. First of all, in verse 11, a heart to seek out the lost and the scattered. See, I myself will search for my flock and look for them. Friends, this is the story, the parable of the good shepherd who goes out and searches for his flock. He goes out to look for those that are scattered. It's speaking about, well, let's look at verse 12. As a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day that he is among his scattered flock, so I will look for my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a cloudy and dark day. My own sense of this verse here is that it's very relevant to the days in which we live. We are living in cloudy and dark days. We're living in times of judgment. We're living in times of where there is much confusion and where there is much spiritual fog. It's clarity of sight, clarity of direction is comparatively rare. And friends, we're living in a time when the flock of God, sad to say, is very often scattered. There are those who've come in even to the church of God, certainly in the West anyway, as who've come purporting to be shepherds of the flock, who actually have had the effect of driving the flock away. And so there is isolation and there is scattering. And with that, there is a danger, because of course that's when the enemy can pick us off. That's when the wolves and the lions can pick off the people of God. My friends, this is tremendously relevant, I think. Here is the Lord saying that he is among his scattered flock. And what he's wanting to do is to bring them to bring them into that place of pasture. And for those who are damaged, he wants to bind up and to restore. But friends, he is among the scattered flock. And certainly the Bible speaking about the remnant of his people, those who are scattered. Friends, and if you feel, and I suppose in a way at Bethel, we represent at least part of this scattered flock. It's just that the Lord has happened to have brought us together. The Lord, therefore, is among us. That's the encouragement. And the Lord is looking to rescue his scattered flock. And friends, that is what the Lord is wanting to do elsewhere, so that even those who are in places where they are deceived, where they are being ill-treated, where they're not being nourished, where they're not being cared for, friends, even in those places, the Lord is wanting to be their shepherd. And part of that, I'm sure, is that he wants to bring them out to a place of pasture. And then it says in verse 13, I will bring them out from the peoples. I will gather them from the countries. Friends, part of being a shepherd is to gather the people of God together. And friends, this is what the Lord has done. He gathers the lambs in his arm, it says. Friends, the Lord is gathering you. It means he holds you up. It means he carries you. It says in Isaiah 40 that he carries them in his bosom. Friends, this is tremendous. And if you feel that you are, and let's not forget that the wounded sheep, the Lord brings home on his shoulders. The Lord is able to carry you. And you remember that there's that picture of the footprints in the sand, however you interpret that. But you remember the story of that and the implication that it's the Lord who's carrying us. Friends, no matter how wounded you may be, the Lord is able to carry you in his arms or on his shoulders. And then in verse 14, I will tend them with good pasture, and their grazing place shall be on Israel's lofty mountains. And it goes on to say that that there in that rich pasture on the mountains of Israel, God will cause them to lie down. Friends, that's a picture of protection. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Friends, God brings us to a place where he protects, where he causes us to rest. And then in verse 16, it says He, amongst other things, he bandages the injured. He binds them up. He binds up their wounds. Friends, the Lord is able to do that. And to strengthen the weak. So if you're injured, if you're wounded, or if you're weak, God is able to meet with you. Now, of course, there are conditions for all this. We have our part to play and we need to cooperate with the Lord. And just to give you an illustration of the sheep who's brought back home on the shoulders of the shepherd. I understand, if I remember, I haven't checked this out, but I heard some years ago that what a shepherd was prepared to do, if necessary, with a sheep, with a lamb that perpetually went astray, perpetually went into the place of danger, when he eventually was able to rescue it because it had come to a place of where it was so weary and exhausted that the shepherd could reach out and lift it up. That shepherd was prepared to break a leg in order to teach that lamb that never again would it go astray. And the same shepherd who was willing to do that, who was willing to bring correction and discipline, was the shepherd who was then going to nurse that lamb back on its feet, bind up the wound, and restore it to health. But that lamb would never go astray again. Friends, that is our good shepherd. And sometimes the Lord has to deal with us strongly in order to for us to respond to his shepherding. Well, in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, the first thing that the people say to David is, you will be, they're just quoting what the Lord has said to him, you will be... You shall feed my people Israel. Our Lord Jesus came to feed, to provide, to satisfy, to tend and to care. And then it says secondly, you shall be my ruler over my people Israel. If you look at the comparable passage in 2 Samuel, it says you shall be a captain over my people. And this is something a little bit different. This is the word, it means literally to command, to be out in front, to lead. And of course this is one of the things that the shepherd did very often, was to lead the people, lead the flock from the front. To be a chief leader, to be a prince. Verse 2, it says, you were he that led out and brought in the people. In warfare, David led his people out. Except when he was told not to because his life was too precious, and except on one of those occasions when he didn't take his responsibility as he should have done to lead the people, and the result was the adultery with Bathsheba. But I digress. But the shepherd, the leader, to have a heart to rule means that you have a heart to lead, to go out in front. And that's what David had. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10 reads as follows. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. This scripture was given to us at Bethel a number of years ago. And basically the Lord was promising that there would be a place for us, not only spiritually, but also physically. And I believe that certainly part of that, if not the whole fulfilment of it, is the fact that we've got these premises next door. But we've been here in this hall for the last few years. But in a way far more important than that is that there is a spiritual place for us, a spiritual home. And that we will not be disturbed. There wouldn't be commotion. There's a certain amount of security that God wants us to have as his people. Friends, this is part of what it is for the Lord to be our commander, our prince. Acts 5 in the New Testament says that the Lord has given the Lord Jesus, exalted him to the right hand of the Father to be a prince and a saviour. Is he your saviour? I'm sure most of you can say, if not all, can say, yes, he's my saviour. But friends, the Lord has given him to you to be your prince as well. That is to say, your commander. He's the one who leads you. He's the one who goes out ahead of you. Well, these are the things that that the people recognised that God had said to David. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, if you look at Ezekiel 34, just go to look at the opening verses of that chapter. Keep your finger in 1 Chronicles. We will go back to there. In Ezekiel 34, it's speaking about the false shepherds and the kind of things that they didn't do or did do. And it seemed to me, just pondering this, that if we are to share his heart, you see, not everybody is called to lead. There are those, of course, that God gives to the church as elders. Part of their role is to oversee, part of their role is to feed the flock, to tend the flock. There are ministries that the Lord Jesus gives, like pastors and teachers. They are to feed the flock. Other ministries are to lead the flock. So in 1 Corinthians 14, or is it chapter 12? Chapter 12, I think. One of the ministries is one of leadership or governments, or forget exactly how it's translated in more modern versions. But it's the idea of leading the flock of God, leading the church of God. I would think very much apostles are to do with this kind of leadership as well, though not entirely and exclusively, but certainly that's involved. But those are for a relatively small number, I suppose. So what about us as a church here at Bethel? What about you as an individual believer? Can you and I share something of this heart that David had? Well, I believe in some ways we can. Let's look at chapter 34 and verse 1. This is what the Lord says to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, you who have been feeding yourselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, wear the wool, butcher the fatlings, but you do not tend the flock. What's this really saying? It's saying you are so self-absorbed, you are so self-centered, you want to take all the blessings for yourself and you don't care about anybody else. To have the same heart that David had means that you do look away from yourself. If you're the kind of Christian who is just preoccupied with what the Lord is doing for you and your own blessings, put it like this, what you can get out of it, and thank God we do get much out of it from the Lord, don't we? But it's a mark of immaturity to be so preoccupied with what the Lord is giving to you that you are no earthly use to anybody else. And these four shepherds, they were out to feed themselves. To have a heart after God's own heart is to look away from yourself, away from your own problems and difficulties, not to feed yourself, not to be mindful of your own blessings, but to look to feed others, to look to care for others. That's the first thing. It goes on to say in verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak. So to have a heart after the Lord's heart is to want to strengthen other people, to encourage them. If you see somebody who's weak in the faith, start to pray for them. Now please, I'm not saying that we simply have to smother them with our sympathy. We need to be led by the Lord. What I'm saying is that if we have God's heart, we will begin to strengthen the weak. And actually we will know how to do that. And if you want to have a heart like God's heart, and potentially every one of us can, because God has given us a new heart by his Holy Spirit. So these things that we're looking at, God can write them upon our hearts. Ask the Lord to show you how to strengthen the weak. Ask the Lord to show you how to heal the sick, how to bandage the injured, bring back the strays, seek out the lost. Friends, so many of God's people are weak or afflicted or quite simply worn out. Some of you may know them. They may go to other churches and fellowships and they're not being given the encouragement or the strength that they need. Maybe some of them are isolated. They're on their own for whatever reason. They don't have this encouragement. Look to the Lord to use you to bring that encouragement to them. Look to the Lord to use you to know how to strengthen them so that they're not worn out. It goes on to say in verse 5, you have ruled them with violence and with cruelty. And actually that translation is really good from the original language. No vehemence, no severity, no fracturing, no breaking of the flock. And a mark, one of the marks of somebody who is a false shepherd, somebody who's not called by God to lead, is that they break the flock of God. And there's a severity, there's a vehemence, there's a cruelty about their handling of the people of God. Friends, that should not be. So, how do we handle people? To ask the Lord, I have to say, well, let me give you an example. I'll just bring out my thoughts, one of them. The Lord convicted me last weekend. Now, some of you may not agree about this, but anyway, I'm just telling you what happened. I was rung up by one of these wretched PPI calls. Do you know what I mean? These people who have, say, well, is that Mr. Wyatt? Say, yes. Well, it's that makes a pleasant change. It's usually, is that Mr. what? But this was, is this Mr. Wyatt? So I said, yes. We believe you've had an accident with in the last 3 years. My patience has been running extremely thin, I have to say. And on this occasion, I got really cross. I mean, I was never going to see the person again, was I? So I could afford to let rip, which I duly did. I felt the Lord convict me, actually. I have to say, now you may not agree. I mean, if that's the way you want to treat people, I leave that to you. I'm just telling you how I felt the Lord convict me, because I treated them badly. I mean, this poor soul probably was just doing her job. His job, I can't remember. Her job. She was doing its job. Her or his. And she had no choice about it. And I've just been asking, well, perhaps you might help me, perhaps you might pray for me that I shall know, and I shall pray for you as well, that you will know what to say so that you don't treat people cruelly or vehemently or severely, but actually you know what to say, and maybe to minister the Lord to them. So how we handle people is important, even those that ring you up whom you've never spoken to before. Friends, we need to have the Lord's heart. 1 Chronicles 11, finally. What else does having the Lord's heart involve? Well, look and see what the people did. Just one or two other things in the reading that we had. First of all, they come to David. They gather themselves to David. Friends, gather, be gathered to the Lord. Draw near to him. If he's your shepherd, go to him. And the language that they use is the language of love. It's the language that is spoken in Genesis about marriage. Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. What are they saying? They're saying really, David, we recognise that your calling and our destiny are irrevocably linked. And friends, if we have a heart like the Lord's heart to rule, it means that we share in that realisation that actually we share in God's destiny for us and for his son. That we are part of a bigger picture. And so it goes on to say in verse 10, these are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king. So although David knew he was king, there were others in Israel, and specifically these mighty men, who established his kingdom. And that word literally means to strongly hold with him. Friends, if you see the Lord as your king, as your shepherd, as your ruler, as your governor, as your leader, hold strongly with him. Do you see that your destiny and our destiny as an assembly is to establish and increase the kingdom of God? That's why God has put you where he's put you. That's why we're here in Shelford. That's why we're here as a body of people together. God wants us to hold strongly with him, to establish his rule. And of the increase and of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Friends, to have this heart means to recognise that and to work with the Lord to that end. At such that they actually, that their relationship, the people of Israel and David, had this covenant relationship. In verse 3 it says David made a covenant with them. And friends, our relationship with the Lord is based on covenant. Or it should be. How's your relationship with the one who is your shepherd? Are you fickle? Are you inclined to go astray at the drop of a hat? Do you see that the relationship that the Lord has brought you into is one of permanence? It's one of commitment? It's one of devotion? It's one of sacrifice? That the Lord has laid down his life for you in order to own your submission, in order to have your love, your devotion, your allegiance. If you respond to the Lord like that, then you are fulfilling the Lord Jesus' heart to be your shepherd. But also you will share his heart to shepherd others, and the Lord can begin to use you and to begin to use us. Well, I don't know how much further we're going to get in the life of David. We'll just have to see. But if this is the last one, at least for a time, I think it's a very good note on which to end. As we come up to Christmas and we are reminded of how the Father sent his Son to be out of Bethlehem, came that one who was going to shepherd us. Let's respond to his shepherding, particularly in a cloudy and a dark day, and let's share with him and work with him for the rescuing and for the gathering of all the people of God, or at least as many as we come in touch with. Shall we pray, please?